Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Together forever. Building lasting relationships through strong commitments. We saw last week that a commitment is the act of binding yourself to something or to someone. When you are not committed, it shows by the fact that you are not really there. Yeah. When you are bound, it means you are obliged, like something is compelling you to be there, to do. And when you are not committed, you see, you are not there. And that's how we know committed members and non-committed members. They are not there usually. Important things, you don't see them. Yeah. Or they are only fair when they are committed. So that there were four levels of commitments. And I'm hoping and believing that you've begun assessing, you know, your relationships and whatever you are involved with. Fair weather commitment, situational commitment, non-situational commitment, and marital commitment. You know, I need to make you aware of something. I didn't invent these statements that I'm making. I'm learning them from my father in the ministry, Bishop Dagoward Mills. Everything that I teach you are things he teaches me. And I'm just teaching you. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? So, I don't want you to think I'm too deep or that I'm very, very... No. I'm very much on the ground. I'm just connected to a source from where I get what I'm also giving to you. Are you listening to me? And I pray and believe that this is blessing you and helping you. What I've been teaching, those four commitments, you can find that in his book. The book is called Mega Church. If you read the book, The Mega Church, you'll find the four commitments. I took them word for word, just the way he teaches them. And I've shared them with you. Are you listening to me? So make sure that you get connected to what is happening. Last month, I taught you on the presence of God. I didn't invent nothing. Most of what I taught you is from a book he wrote called The Presence and the Anointing. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? Like maybe you're thinking, Pastor is deep. No. My father is deep. I just learned from him and I share to you. Are you listening to me? All right. Now, last week I told you that it will be wise for you to be together forever with God. Yeah. Now, you will not find that in the book he wrote. But that comes as a result of me listening to him. Then I get things. Are listening to me? Now, together forever with God, we were learning that we need to build a marital commitment relationship with God. What that means is, once you're in forever. Now, it's interesting to note in the book of Hosea 11, verse 7, God says, my people are bent on backsliding from me. It's interesting that God says that his people are bent on backsliding. Like, his people have a tendency of backsliding from him. So when we teach on together forever with God, you might think it's obvious. But even God himself is complaining that people are with him today. And then tomorrow, they backslide. They pull out. That's Hosea 11 verse 7. My people are bent on backsliding from me. I pray for you that you will not be one of those that are bent or that have backsliding tendencies. Yeah. But you will be strong. The Bible says the path of the righteous is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter. It means you get better in your Christianity every passing day. Not worse, best. Hallelujah. And I pray that you will say like Peter said in the book of John 6 verse 68. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You should reach a stage in your life where you say to yourself, to whom shall I go? Like if, okay, I want to ask you a question. You are leaving God for who? Exactly. I mean, like, let's talk about it. Who are you leaving God for? Because every time you are breaking up with somebody, they're usually interested in knowing who is the great or the lucky guy or the lucky girl who is replacing them. Even when they are saying to you, no, there's nobody. Ah, they're lying. There's always somebody. They don't just want to hurt your feelings too much. I mean, you already hurt that the thing is broken. Then for them to now say, it's this person. I mean, that would just take the whole thing to a whole new level. Do you get it? But even when you leave the presence of a person that broke up with you, you always want to know, who is that person? And Jehovah is asking himself, who is this person that has led you to backstab? Or who? What is that thing? Because sometimes with God, it's not always a person. Sometimes it's something. My Bible says you shall not shape God and money. So sometimes it's something that has come and taken the place of God in your life. So much so that God is no more number one. He's no more number one. My people are bent. Understand, if you are a child of God, that one of the tendencies that we have as children of God is that we have a tendency of backsliding. As a child of God, you must know that very well, that we don't have a tendency of attaching ourselves with God. We rather have a tendency. I mean, it started with Adam. Little time he's left there before God realized he has backslidden. You cannot believe what happens between Sunday and Sunday. Just 7 days. The type of things that can happen in between. That's why every opportunity you get to go to church, to go to a cell, like we are launching cells. Go to a cell. Join a cell group. Don't stay at home saying to yourself, I'm going to go to church next Sunday. You can't imagine what can happen to you between Wednesday and Sunday. Every opportunity you get to be in God's presence, please go for it. Is it a conference? Go. Is it a prayer meeting? Go. Is it a recording service? Go. Whatever it is, go. It is a way of breaking the tendency of backsliding. It is a way. And one major way that we have also found that is called cast box. Yes. As soon as the voice of the enemy starts speaking, you bring another voice, and that voice, that the voice of your shepherd must start speaking louder. I pray you will say like David in the book of Psalm 27 verse 4, one thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It's part of the grace we share every Sunday. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. So it's a permanent thing. Please don't confess that and then you go and backslide. Understand what you are saying. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Amen means let it be so. So you are saying, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Let it be so. Let it be so. So don't confess this and then before I realize, you are exiting groups. Before I realize you have pulled out of certain commitments, passivity has entered. And you are already going towards criticism and other things. Now, that is, you see, I introduced you last week to the first relationship man ever had with anyone. That was his relationship with God. Are you listening to me? Please, if you miss that message, it's available on YouTube. It's available on CastBox. It's available on Facebook. I think portions are available on other platforms. Go listen to it. You know? You'll be blessed. I listen to my own messages. And you must find me laughing at myself. I laugh. You know? It's nice. I can't expect people to wash me if I don't wash me. Yeah. Why should I make people torture themselves with something that I can't wash myself? Many pastors can't wash themselves. I promise you. You'll be surprised. When you start preaching, you find it difficult to listen to yourself. Because sometimes you are usually not your favorite listener yourself. You get it? But it's a torture you have to take yourself through until you start enjoying listening to yourself. You get it? This morning, let's look at something quickly here. The second relationship that man experienced after he had God. And I pray that in your life, things will be in that order. That the first relationship that you are first developing, pursuing, making sure you are highly committed to, is not a relationship with a human being. It's a relationship with the living God. I pray that that will be you. That you will love God. You will love the Holy Spirit. You will love your Bible. You will love things of the Spirit. You will love spirituality. You will grow and develop and become a spiritual man, a spiritual woman. That is my prayer for you. We jump too quickly into things. And no wonder they don't work, because you see, this one is not in place. This one is not in place. But now once you've got that one in place, like you've got your cornerstone, now you can start building the rest of the house. You can start building the rest of the house. I promise you, people who attempt to build without getting the cornerstone in place, and Jesus is the cornerstone, if he is not there, the building will not work. It will not work. Let's look at the next relationship that you should. I'm not saying you must, because Jesus didn't, Paul didn't, some people don't. So I'm saying you should consider developing on a marital commitment basis. So this morning, together forever with my beloved. Together forever with who?
My beloved.
My beloved. The next relationship that you should consider developing at a marital commitment level is the relationship with your beloved. The Bible says in Genesis 2 verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good." See, God was already there. And I've shown you last week that this guy was building with God nicely. Everything is flowing. Then God comes in for the first time. He finds something in the equation that's not working. And God for the first time says, "It is not good." Everything God has been saying, it is good, it is good, it is good, it is good, this is good, this is good. For the first time, he's saying it is not good. It is not good for what? It is not good for man to be alone. It is not good. Now, bear you with me, man already had God, but God says it is not good. Those of you that say, I don't need to go to church, I don't need to go, I can worship God at home. God is God was already with Adam. But then God is still telling Adam that having me is nice, but it's not good that you remain like this. I didn't create you to be like this. Those of you that are specialists of loneliness, lone rangers, separatists by nature and by profession, that you don't associate, you don't mix yourself, God says what? It is not good. And you are not wiser than God. It is not good. For man to be alone, it is not good. It will never be good. Yeah. A lot of evil happens when man is alone. Just look at Eve being alone and see the evil that started happening. As soon as you are alone, certain thoughts start coming. As soon as you are alone, certain desires start rising. As soon as you are alone, certain misconceptions start coming up. So when you are with other people, certain things can't operate. They cannot operate. Just the presence of other human beings around you. That's why when you come to church, you can't do certain things that you do when you are not at church. Because when you are with people, it affects you. It affects you. It will never be good for you to be alone. That's why I want you to join a cell group. Be part of a cell. Join a cell. Start a cell. Have people that you hook up with. That is how we're supposed to be. We are created like that by God. So God says, I will make a helper suitable for him. Praise the Lord. Wow. I'm shooting straight to Genesis 2, verse 21 to 24. Are you shooting with me? Let's shoot. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. You see, as soon as God saw a problem, God decided to fix the problem. And God did not consult man much. He just made him fall asleep. And while he was sleeping, there are many things God can do while you are asleep. Many things, many things. God can do a lot of things while you are asleep. Yeah. For those of you that like being in control of everything. Yeah, you want to know everything that is happening. Yeah. God has chosen to do certain things while you are asleep. God has chosen to change your children while you are asleep. God has chosen to change your wife or your husband while you are asleep. God has chosen to change your boss while you are asleep. God has chosen to change your ministry while you are asleep. Many things God does while you are asleep. Yeah. Unfortunately for us, God is not the only one who does things while people are asleep. I hope you realize that one. Uh-huh. While men slept, an enemy came also. God is a spirit. Satan too is a spirit. So that's why we encourage you to pray before you sleep. So that you decide which operations must be happening while you are asleep. He took one of man's ribs and then closed up the place with the flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. Understand that an entire person was made from a rib. Just a rib that God took. God just took a rib, and from a rib he made another person. Yeah. Can I tell you something? God didn't take the rib from the antelope. God didn't take the rib from the lion. He took it from who? From the man. Because it needed to be suitable. So it had to be taken from him. every time you are dating a person, when you go left, they go right, you go up, they go down. That rip is not taken from you. It's not your rip. It's not your rib. It's not suitable. God didn't take the rib from the stone. God took the rib from the man. Because it has to be suitable. That's the whole point. It has to be suitable. So God takes it from the source where it's going to come and help. Water has to be suitable for the fish. So the fish was taken from the water. The soil has to be suitable for the trees. So the trees were taken from the soil. The woman must be suitable for you. So the rib must be taken from you. And when you are busy with a person, that a week cannot end without heavy arguments, throwing plates, all kinds of things. Look, maybe the suitability is not there. The man said, this is now bone of my bones. You see, he could relate with what he saw, that this thing looks like something from me. And that's how it will be when you meet your wife. For some reason, she will feel, I sense something from me is here. He started with bone of my bones. What is a bone? What is a rib? It's a bone. Who told him that God took a rib to make the woman? Who told him that? So, he already... You know, when you meet the person, sometimes you don't know her, but you know. This. Even when you try to avoid it, it keeps coming back. That's one of the ways to know. It keeps coming back. You know, you put it aside, you throw it away, you cancel it, you block the person, you do a lot of things. But after a while, you unblock them again, and then you just start chatting them. You see, it's the bone of your bones. Flesh of your flesh. She shall be called woman. Can I tell you something? God never called this person that name. It is man who gave that name to the woman. It was not God. As women have decided to rise up to fight men today, they forget that even the name itself was given to them by the man who was giving them to everybody at that time. He was giving them to lions, giving them to giraffes. Then he also, as soon as he saw her, he decided to name her immediately. He named her. God didn't even tell, he just named her immediately. And it's been so ever since. See, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and united to his wife. And they become one flesh. Together forever. Together forever. It also says here, a man shall leave his father and mother to his wife. This is Genesis. It's Genesis. His wife. Not his wives. His wife. His wife. Right from the beginning. That is what God was saying here. I'm just saying what I'm saying here. So together forever with my beloved. This is my prayer for every single person in this ministry and those who will ever listen to this. Once God helps you and you reach the stage where you have left your father and you've left your mother or your uncle or whoever has been around playing the role of your father, and you unite with your wife, I pray for you that it shall be a together forever. Amen. Type of a commitment. Amen. No second thoughts. No regrets. Amen. No sorrow. Amen. No repentance. Amen. It's just together. We are just looking at the future. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 5:18. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. A fountain of what? Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Rejoice. Many people are not rejoicing in the wife of their youth. So when they say the wife of your youth, it means you are no more as young as you were. And you are now beginning to ask yourself, hey, this decision I made, was it the right? Because now there's no joy, there's no rejoicing. Do you see now? The wife of your youth, it also implies you should marry young. Marry young. Marry young. Let me continue reading this beautiful scripture. She is a loving deer. The wife of your youth. She is a deer. A loving deer. A graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you always. I pray for you that you will not have a plastic surgery, or there should not be something that will come and cut the breast. Let her breast satisfy you. When? Always. Together forever. Together forever. I'm saying my things, you people, you think I'm joking. While I start now, you will see that if you don't take care, these things won't happen. Yeah. Because some husbands, they don't even look at those breasts at all. Yeah, no. Whether there are breasts there or there are no breasts, they don't even know. Like, the breasts can be cut and they will not notice. Yeah. But there has been no satisfaction from there at all. Listen to the prayer. Listen to the prayer of... This is a prayer that Solomon is making for us. He says, let her breast satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love. Another version says, may you be intoxicated. You must be intoxicated. You see, like when people are under the influence, that is the same thing, that the love of your wife must always intoxicate you. Why? This is what it takes for together forever to work. As soon as the breasts are no more satisfying, as soon as the love is no more intoxicating, another evil can start rising. Let's shoot a bit to Malachi before we conclude. Malachi, you see, Malachi is not just about tithing. There are another problem in Malachi that I want to share to you. Because some of you are already thinking I'm about to talk about tithing. Malachi chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. Listen, it says, you cry out, why doesn't the Lord accept my worship? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord witnessed the vows you and your wife made when you were young. This scripture is scary. It means when people are making vows, God is witnessing the vows. Because he's saying that because the Lord witnessed the vows you and your wife made when you were young. I told you, marry when you are young. Marry when you are young. But listen to what God says. But you have been unfaithful to her. Though she remains your faithful partner, the wife of your marriage vows. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you are his. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. What does God want? Godly children from your union. I'm reading Malachi for you. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of the heaven's armies. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty. So guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to your wife. Guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to your wife. Together forever with my beloved. We need to start trusting God in this ministry. Amen. That his grace will come upon our marriages. Last week I spoke about your love for God. This week I'm talking about your love for that beloved. Either you are married or you are on that journey, this message will apply. This message will apply. Because many sorrows are connected to this particular thing I'm talking about this morning. So let's look at 10 keys that will lead you to a together forever with your beloved. I don't need to remind you that a lot of Christian marriages are not happy marriages. They are not. A lot of Christian marriages are wars war zones full of deceptions and pretense. People appearing on Sunday to be something that as soon as they enter the house, they are not. Yeah. And a lot of Christians have also entered into divorcing. It's going on, a lot of them. It has become common practice to marry, divorce, marry again, divorce. I mean, there are concessions. There are times when people can divorce, but it has just become too much. So as we wish and we pray that you will get married, we sometimes don't take time to give you the keys that will help the marriage to be together forever. So a lot of us, as soon as we get in, we want to get out. But then we pretend as if we are in and it's flowing. Especially at church. Especially at church. We like making things look very rosy. Mm. And very superficial and very shallow. So we want to, once a marriage starts having these rocky, you know, waves coming and hitting at it, if that marriage doesn't have certain keys, that marriage, listen, it will not go far. It will not go far. Or even if it goes far, it will be for the sake of children and other factors. Not because people are rejoicing in the wife of their youth. Not because they are satisfied by the breast. Not because they are intoxicated by the love. All those things are out of the window long time ago. People are barely surviving there, just trying to fight so that they remain a Christian and they don't die and go to hell. Like they start now fighting for their faith to even like, let me not die, and then I die here and I go to hell because of this marriage. Because I'm already in. Let me rather fight now like Paul, the good fight of faith, focusing on this marriage particularly, that let this marriage not take me to hell. I'm telling you the truth before Almighty God. It is something to be married and to enjoy your marriage. To enjoy being with the person you are with. A lot of people don't enjoy their wives or their husbands. They don't. They don't. Remember what he says, rejoice in the wife of your youth. That's the standard God wants for us. That ABC marriages will be marriages where even after 25 years of being married, you are still rejoicing in the wife of your youth. You are rejoicing in the wife of your youth. You are not regretting marrying her. You are not regretting marrying the man you married. Yeah. But here are the keys that will help for us to reach the key number one. The key of purity. This is before you even enter the thing. Before you enter, many problems that start in the marriage don't start in the marriage. The marriage is just exposing them. Or shall I say, the marriage is just suffering from them. But they didn't start there. They started long before when people were single. The key of purity that today has been watered down is at the top of the reasons why many marriages don't work. Because the omelette is only as good as the egg. Do you understand that? If the egg is spoiled and you take the egg, you beat it and you make an omelette thinking that no, the egg itself is spoiled. When I fry it and make it an omelette, it will become... Look, the omelette is as good as the egg. If the egg is spoiled, the omelette will be spoiled. No matter what you do. And if the egg is nice, the omelette will be nice. So the marriage is as nice as the singleness. The marriage is just a reflection of two single people. I mean, it's not like some angels have now come to do this thing. No. The health of these single people is what creates a healthy marriage. And the sicknesses of these two single people is what creates a sick marriage. The omelette is as good as the egg. Are you listening to me? Hebrews 13 verse 4 says, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. Now, the marriage bed should be kept pure before the marriage and also during the marriage. Like, you should know that you are preparing yourself to be married to somebody. And when you start involving yourself in all kinds of impurities before the marriage, thinking to yourself, let me hit before I enter the prison. What you don't understand is that all those things you are unlocking there, they will follow you. I mean, they are coming with you in the marriage. And they come and they now they spoil the marriage. Because some of you think when you are single, you are this person. When you are married, you become another person. The person that is getting married to the person that was single before. And the diseases that the person came with when they were single, they have entered the marriage with those diseases. So the less diseases you are bringing in, the better for the marriage. First Corinthians 6 verse 18 tells us, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. And that is the body that is going to become one with another person's body. That body that you have, that he's talking about, is the same body that has to now come and become one with another person. It's the same body. Don't think it's another one. It's the same. God doesn't give you, God will give you a new body in heaven. Here, it's the same body. The fornication body, the masturbation body, it's the same body you are bringing in. It's the same body. Some of the sexual immorality that you should run away from before your marriage is pornography. Masturbation. Fornication. Perversion. Perversion, you talk homosexuality, lesbianism, all those things. Flirting. A lot of things that we are busy with. Which other ones? Vibing. You are saying to yourself, let me hit quickly, and then when I come here, and you are joking. There's nothing like that. And that's why, see, when you don't build that purity before you get in, you don't have that purity in your mind. So even when you are in, the thing starts. And then the marriage begins to suffer. That's what I'm trying to show you. The marriage begins to suffer. So a lot of us are in relationships. Maybe you are even married today, but you can't stay in the marriage. If some people, the marriage even broke because these things came and broke the whole thing. It's things they started before when they were young, when they were single.
And they thought by getting married, they will stop them. No. No, 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 no. They just get multiplied. Now, a lot of us need to understand a simple principle. That, you know, don't allow yourself to become an experiment to understand what I'm teaching you today. When you are dating a person, trust God for purity in that dating. Trust God. Because what happened is, once you break that purity while you are not yet married, a lot of things have happened. I'm saying don't become an experiment. Just tap into the wisdom I'm trying to show you today so that you can learn it. When we say sex before marriage is not right, it's not because people are trying to stop you to enjoy. It's because once you get into that before, what happened is this. You open a certain door to the enemy into that marriage. You do. And he has already, that's why he tempts you. Have you noticed? As soon as you get married, he stopped pushing you to have sex. In fact, he now starts making you to not even want to have sex with the person. But before you married the person, he was pushing you. He started to have sex with this person. Because just a minute before the time is not the time. And that's the whole matter. The whole matter is that if the match is starting at 9 o'clock and you enter the field at 8 o'clock and you shoot goals inside, nobody will clap for you. We only start clapping after 9. God who says to you before marriage, don't have sex. As soon as you get married, he comes and says, have sex plenty. Himself, he's the one who starts telling you that. The same thing he was telling you a second earlier, don't do. As soon as certain things are in place, he now says, start doing it. So it's to make you realize that when he says, don't do this, there's a certain law that is governing that area. And his enemy, who understands that, comes and says, you know, do it. Because once you do it, you deactivate that law and you activate another one. And then when you now cross over this side, unknown to you, you've crossed with some stuff. Yeah. I'm not saying that you are sleeping around. I'm saying the person that you even stood in church, you say, this is my person, this and this and this and this, and we prayed for you, we are happy for you, but you are not yet married. Then you start fiddling around. Certain things enter from there. Yeah. And once you are now married, because again you will say, but what is the point? We're going to get married anyway. There's a big point. There's a big point. Otherwise, there will not be time to start something. I could just decide, let me go to work. And then I decide, let me not go to work now. I mean, there are times. The Bible says there's a time and a season for everything under the heavens. So there's a time to have sex, and there's a time not to have sex. Oh, yeah. And when people are saying, no, but we're going to get married anyway, so what is there? There is something there, my friend. There's something big there. And that thing you unlock like that, you already broke a lot of commitments before, so you are not trained to know that you should break commitments. So when you are not married to the person, all these vows that you've made, they don't matter to you because already from the beginning, the singleness, you didn't respect any vows. So when you are married, you also, that's where the cheating starts. Because already, your mind knows, these are just words. I mean, there's nothing there. And that's why people that have sex before they get married are more prone to cheat on their partners after their marriage. Lord, help us. Don't open doors that you will not be able to close. Or you will spend your whole life fighting to close them because the thing wants to work. As soon as you are this side, it turns now. Because you open the door this side. Now this side, it says, listen, I need what I want. I had that side. Not with this person. This person is already old school. Let's go get something that is exciting the way this one was exciting. Yeah. Yeah. How many of you know that sin is usually exciting? Oh. Why do you think people sin? People sin because there's an element of excitement that I'm going to do something nobody will know. And like that element that excites people. Yeah. That's what it is. That's what it is. So as soon as you are married to the person, there's no more excitement. Everybody knows that when you go to the bed, there we know what's going to be happening there. So anyway, so there's no excitement anymore on the whole thing. Are you there? Are you still, you guys? Okay. Let's trust God. Those of us that have crossed on the other side, you know yourself. You know what has happened. May God help. But those that are still on the other side, we are talking to you. And we are saying to you, be careful with your dating. Be careful with it. Psalm 119 verse 9. This is the formula for you to stay in the key of purity till you marry. How can a young man stay on the path of purity? David asks the question and he answers the question. By living according to your word. By living, making decisions that are word-based. If the word doesn't say something, don't do it. If the word says don't do this, don't do. Like, just align your life with the word of God. That's all. If the word says this is not right, don't come and make it right. Live according to the word. Make word-based decisions. And you will live a life of purity. As soon as you start breaking the scriptures, I promise you, it's a matter of time, your purity will run out of the window. There will be no purity there. Because the only thing that keeps you pure is the word of God. You are living in a polluted world. You are living in a toxic world that wants to lead you the wrong direction. The only thing that can keep you in the right direction is the word of God. And here you are, you took the word of God, pull out of the window. You took your pastor, pull out of the window. You took every good thing that God has given you, pull out of the window. Then guess what? You are a prey in the hands of the enemy. You are a prey now. You'll be surprised the things he will make you do. Meanwhile, you're not married to the person. The key of purity. We thank God for the blood of Jesus. That can always come and purify you. But that's why I want to go to key number two. Because those of us that, you see, maybe along the way you missed it. Now you are running out on this side. When you apply the blood of Jesus, it's great. But that man no help at some stage. You need the next key. The key of liberty. Liberty. What is the first key?
The key of
purity. What is the second key?
The key of liberty.
The key of liberty. Here I'm talking about deliverance. Isaiah 52 verse 2. Shake off your dust. Rise up. Sit enthroned, Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck. Free yourself from the chains on your neck. Daughter Zion, now a captive. This is the church being captive. These are people of God that are in captivity. And God is saying, free yourself. You are already in the relationship. You are already married, but you came to this marriage with chains on your neck. There are chains on your neck. There are weaknesses in your life that Satan has injected when you were a single person. And if you don't do a work on those things will fight this marriage, and this marriage might never be
together forever. This marriage that you have entered with chains on your neck, if you don't shake off the dust and free yourself, mean you go through intense deliverance. A lot of people think just because they lay hands on you there in the church, everything is fine. Everything is not fine. Everything is not fine. There are still things you are fighting. There are things that you are fighting that came from your father. They are in you. There are things that came from your mother. They are in you. They are there. They are the things that destroyed the marriage of your father. Those are the things that destroyed the marriage of everybody in the family. And they are on you. And you are just there relaxing as if everything is okay. Eh? The Bible says, free yourself. Enter into a freedom mode. You can't believe the things people enter the marriage with. You can't believe. If your eyes will open in the spirit, as they are saying, I do, they are not the only ones saying, I do. Many other forces behind are saying, I do also. We are all doing. And as soon as you go home, the forces start unlocking themselves. And you can start feeling that, no, something is doing. Something is doing here. I'm not alone. You are not alone. The forces are fighting that marriage. They are fighting that union on every level. Yeah, you can see this, that there's a fight. There's a fight here. There's a fight. And if I don't free myself from these forces that have come, the marriage might not be together forever if God doesn't help us. Eh? It's time for somebody to rise up and to, you see, he said, shake off the dust. Rise up, sit in throne, and free yourself. Free yourself. You will sit there and you know, many of you, you know very well what you came with. You know what you came with. And you are behaving as if you are an angel. You are behaving as if everything is okay. Meanwhile, you know everything is not okay. You have entered this marriage with some serious things that you came with. From your father, from your mother, from your family, or from your relationship that you had before. You have come in this day with all these problems. And all these things are now unlocking themselves, and they have a, you know, they are having a challenge that, or their goal is to make sure this marriage will never be together forever. Today, in the name of Jesus, everything that is fighting you, and through you fighting the marriage God is preparing for you, may you receive grace to have the wisdom to start fighting it. Amen. And to receive victory from God in the name of Jesus. Yes. Number three, the key of unity. The key of unity. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together? Do you know why many people, the marriage doesn't work? There's no unity. There's no unity at all. The Bible says in Mark 3, verse 25, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. It means the marriage will not stand. The together forever will not work. There's no unity. Always divergence of opinions. This one is going this way. That one is going this way. This one is. There is no unity in the thing. So it's either we are just surviving in the relationship, but you say together forever. That one. Oh no, the key of unity must come in. In other words, we must have a way to agree. There must be a way we find to agree. We agree on things. We agree on things. We agree on where our children should go to school. We agree on how to discipline the children. We agree on when to talk. When we agree on how things should be done. We agree. When the constant disagreement, together forever, my God. And many times these things start right from the dating stage. You can already start sensing that I don't see a lot of agreement here, but let's just continue. Continue where?
are continuing where? They say you are deceived. You are thinking that no, after the wedding day, things which I'm telling you today that the person that you are dating is the person you are marrying. It's the same person. It's a seesaw. What you see is what you sow. And what you sow is what you see. It's the same thing. It's a seesaw. Yeah. I pray that there will be unity in the house. There will be that the demons that are bringing disunity, that the demons that are bringing strife, the demons that are bringing quarrels will be bound. Amen. They must be bound. It's every quarrel you see in your house is demonic.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says that Satan came down and he started making people fight. He's the one. He's the main guy behind it. He's the main guy. Always. So, but he will make sure that you see the other person as your enemy, not himself. You will forget him. Then he will be roasting the whole marriage. Key number four, accuracy. Number one, purity. Number two, liberty. Number three, unity. Number four, accuracy. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 33. However, each one must also love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. That's the most accurate thing you can do. That you might miss a lot of things in that marriage. But if you get this one right, you are accurate. You've made it. As a husband, the most accurate, precise, perfect thing you can do is to love your wife. That's the most, like, when you love your wife, I'm not saying when you build, when you take out the trash, except if that is what it means to love her. And I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. If that is her love language, that when you are taking out the trash, you are fixing the light bulb, and then she's feeling laughed. Which actually now brings us to the fact that you must know your wife's love language. You can be doing a lot of great things, but she never sees them as love because she doesn't respond to that as love. You must know your wife's love language so that you can love her accurately. Why is God asking us to love our wives as husbands? It's very simple. It is the most difficult thing to do as a husband than to love your wife. Yeah. The same way a wife, one of the most difficult things that she will find to do in this world is to submit to her husband. It is so difficult. And you see, the reason why God has to tell you to do it is because it is the one thing you will not want to do. You will not. You might do a lot of other things, but that one, that's what I'm saying, it is the one that brings the accuracy. When you bring it in, then you are now accurate. Then you are now hitting the right note and things are beginning to work. Things are beginning to work. Can we be accurate? Because we usually do a lot of things, except, you see, we avoid the thing that he said we should do. We avoid it. Yeah. And you see, we become inaccurate. We become inaccurate. Respect your husband. Respect your husband. When you respect your husband, you are accurate. You might not be very beautiful, but if you respect your husband, You might not know a lot of other things. You might not know how to cook. You might not know how to wash clothes. You might not even know how to clean the house. But if you respect your husband, you will be so accurate that people will think you are doing everything right in the house. If you can just respect your husband, and if you can just love your wife, yeah, that's the only job he gave us to do. You see that in that marriage, God only gave two jobs, one to one, one to the other one. To the husband, love your wife. To the wife, submit all respect for husband. Just simple. To the children, it says obey the parents. And when everybody is doing their thing, there is so much accuracy, you think you are in heaven. Yeah. But I tell you, those things, they are the most disobeyed instructions in the house. The most disobeyed. Yeah. Husbands don't love their wives. Wives don't respect their husbands. And children don't obey their parents. Yeah. It's just like that. I'm saying because God is saying, because it's not an easy thing to do. You are thinking it's easy. It's not. Because you're not married. That's why you're talking like that. Yeah. My dear daughters, respect that man. There is no sheep that can have two captains. Have you seen a ship before that this particular, even the Titanic had only one captain. You cannot have a ship that has two captains. This one is talking, the other one is talking. The Bible says the husband is the head of his wife. Daughters, you need to be reminded this thing, because sometimes you forget. You forget. You forget that there cannot be a ship with two captains inside. That will lead to a disaster. Now you want to lead, he wants to lead. Then who must say the children are follow? Who must we follow now? Everybody wants to lead. Everybody wants to lead. These are the causes of marriages not working, marriages not being happy, marriages everywhere. This is it that I'm giving you like this. Number five, the key of humility. Humility. If you could forget any other key that I'm going to give this morning, please don't forget the key of humility. Because I can even tell you that behind every other problem that you are hearing, that all these other things, the main problem there is pride. Like, there's nothing else. It's pride. Yeah. Everything that you're going to hear that you've already heard, you can just forget it all and just say that, just pride. It's just pride. All over the place. It's always been pride. So the key of humility, I will call it the master key. Like, if you can just have this one and you don't even have the other one, you have humility. You'll be fine. Proverbs 13 verse 10, the Bible says, only by pride comes contention. Only by pride. Every time you find husband and wife shouting, by quarreling, there's pride. Somebody is proud. That's all. Pride is the cause of all quarrels, strifes, problems in every house. It's pride. The quarrels that people hear and the quarrels people don't hear. Because some people quarrel without talking. Yeah. It's called a cold war. Not all wars are fought with bazookas and AK-47. Some wars are just looking at each other. But the heat is too much. Yes, please. There's tension in the house. All of them are orchestrated by pride. It's pride. Somebody is proud. Somebody is not forgiving. Somebody is not saying, I'm sorry.
Somebody doesn't want to admit anything. Somebody is standing on their ground too much. There are some wives that can never say, I'm sorry. There are some husbands that can never say, I'm sorry. Never. Ah, you can kill him, you never say, I'm sorry. Never. Me, never. Problem. Pride goes before destruction. Proverbs 16 verse 8. Pride goes before destruction. Every time you see a marriage that has been destroyed, don't look for pride. Every time you see a beautiful marriage that has fallen apart, pride. It's pride. People are not proud, are not humble. Let's see the other ones quickly, then we'll close. The key of transparency. Genesis 2 verse 25. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and not ashamed. Transparency. Honesty in the marriage. Speaking the truth in love. Being open to one another. Being open about your struggles. Being able to be vulnerable with the other person. And tell them, look, this is what I'm going through. Again, it's pride that will cause you to not do that. There will be no transparency. There are too many secrets. There are too many lies. Many husbands lie to their wife like they breathe. And many wives lie to their husband like they breathe. They do things behind their husband's knowledge. Like the husband doesn't know he's doing this or she's doing this. Deception. A lot of things are going on. People are not transparent. And you know what it does? It breaks trust. And once trust is broken, people become too careful. They become afraid. Fear enters the relationship. Ephesians 4:15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect a mature body. I will say a mature marriage. Speaking the truth in love will cause the marriage to become a matured one. Speaking the truth in love. 7, the key of simplicity. A lot of marriages are destroyed because of greed. And because people don't want to accept what God has given them for the time they are in. The Bible says in Philippians 4:12-13, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in. There are some wives, as soon as she's hungry, the whole atmosphere changes in the house. You brought me here to kill me. You could have let me with my mother. What is this? That all problems start because something is missing. As soon as there's something missing, the peace is gone. So the peace is always threatened in the house. Simplicity. We can live on water if that is the season. We can live on this if that's the season. Paul end up by saying, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can do all things. I can do all things. If there was a bit of simplicity in your marriage, you would say that your marriage would be a very, very nice marriage. He said, a lot of things that you have brought, you saw your friend doing this, you saw your other person doing this, now bring, we must buy this type of car, and we must live in this type of neighborhood, and the thing brings so much strain on the marriage, and the marriage can't survive. Marriage can't survive. The marriage cannot survive. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil in the marriage. You are chasing the money so much, you know, no time for the children, no time for the partner, no time for nothing because you are chasing the money. You don't want to live a simple life. This has led women to go this way. It has led men to go that way. They are chasing the wealth. And the most surprising thing, you'll be buying a house, you can't stay in, you don't stay in the house. You're always out.
You don't even stay in it. You're buying a car, it just takes you from point A to point B. Then it starts the whole day. Number 8, as we close, the key of intimacy. Oh yes. The key of intimacy. As soon as intimacy leaves the marriage is as good as dead. I tell you. My father, Bishop Dark, says, the moment there is no more sex in the marriage, don't call it a marriage. It's brother and sister. You are just fellowshipping. There's nothing left there. You are family members. I don't understand what else is there, because you were living with your sisters before. The only problem was that you could not do certain things with them. Now you are living with a person, you are saying she's your wife, and there's nothing happening. That is as good as she's just your sister. Call her like Abraham, she's my sister. First Corinthians 7 verse 5. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations. This is for married people, please. Don't bring yourself. Unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time, so you can give yourself more completely to prayer. Afterwards, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So God knows you don't have self-control. God knows. You see, the answer is not, I will hold myself. Listen, the answer is go to your wife. The answer is go to your husband. Don't say, I will hold myself. Hold myself from where? 1 Corinthians 7 verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. And let every woman have her own husband. To avoid fornication. One of the reasons why God wants you to marry is to avoid fornication. So now when you marry a wife and she doesn't give you sex, that's the main reason why God says avoid, we're avoiding fornication. To avoid fornication is to have this thing. Is to avoid fornication. One of the reasons that the Christians marry is to avoid fornication. So when the Christians are now married and the thing is not happening, yeah, what is happening now? What is going on here? Where are we going? Nevertheless, to avoid fornication. Never forget that verse. To avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife. Why? Because having a wife will help you to avoid fornication. Now you are having a wife. She's always seven days of glory. After 7 days of glory, 21 days of glory and power. After 21 days of glory and power, 72 days in the mountain. What is happening? No. I discharge you from all your 7 days of glory duties. Go and take care of your husband. Remember to avoid fornication. That's the main reason. So when you are busy with your wife or with your husband, it's to do what? It's a major key that Christians don't understand. You are always dodging these responsibilities. You are opening serious doors to the enemy here. Because this is a tool God gave us to avoid fornication. I want to insist on that. To avoid fornication. Let every man have his wife. And let every wife have a husband. Do not deprive yourself. It leads to fornication. Are you blessed? Yes. Our time is up. Quickly, number 9, the key of photocopy. Yeah. Marriages don't work because you don't copy other marriages. When you want a good marriage, find a good marriage and copy it. It's as simple as that. Copy a good marriage. You see, your marriage is not working because you are creating your own marriage. Are you copying from somebody? Are you humbly copying from another marriage? Are you learning from another person? Ever since they laid hands on you, you became big. You are now on your own. You make your own decisions. You don't sit, you learn from anybody. You don't read anybody's book. You don't do anything anymore. The key of photocopy. Wow. As soon as you photocopy something, what was in the original comes in the copy. So when you photocopy another good marriage, what is in that marriage comes to your marriage. Better learn that key. Lastly, the key of spirituality. Listen to Ephesians. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Look at what you are wrestling against in that marriage. Principalities. Powers. Rulers of the darkness of this world. And spiritual wickedness in high places. These are the forces you are wrestling with in the marriage. You are not wrestling against your mother-in-law. You are not wrestling even against your husband or your wife. That's not the person you are wrestling with. You are wrestling against spiritual entities. You better become spiritual. You better become a spiritual husband. And not that type of that. You see, even themselves, they call themselves a spiritual husband. But you have to be spiritual. To be a real husband, you must be a spiritual person. And to be a real wife, you must be a spiritual wife. Yeah, be spiritual. Be spiritual. Just look at the things you are fighting in the marriage and you are not spiritual. So I will see you guys at BBS and BSB. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Brother, be strong. Sister, be spiritual. Stand on your feet and give the Lord a hand of praise. Oh yes. Oh yes. Lift your hands and begin to receive wisdom now. Thank God for what you learned this morning. Thank God for all that He placed in your hands. These keys that God has sent to you today. Come on, open your mouth and start appreciating God for them. Magabra zibre galo gola menderebe zabra gada balabaya. Meyema zebre kadobro gola mende zibre kara bula menda. Thank you, Lord. Me breze que le mando zabra kente zika prela dobre le manda. Jabadeba, jabadeba, zeprekada, zokolamenda, shanda bregazeba, zaprokolamende. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Before I close this service, I want to pray for you this morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. Before I go, I would like to lead you in a prayer that will help you to give your heart to Jesus. That is true right now. At the count of three, you are saying, Pastor, I would like to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. At the count of three, you can just raise your hand and I pray with you and lead you in a prayer that will change your life completely. 1, 2, 3. Raise your right hand. I want to be born again. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You can take your hand down. Now, maybe you are already born again and this morning you just want you to commit yourself to Christ. You want Him to become your Lord and your Savior. You want Him to rule over your heart. To help you develop these relationships you hear Pastor talk about. Why don't you raise your hand at the count of three so I can pray with you. 1, 2, 3. Your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. All right. Let's pray together. From the bottom of your heart, repeat this word. Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I surrender my heart to you tonight.
Forgive me my sins.
Wash me with your blood.
I believe you died for me.
On the third day you rose again.
That I might be justified.
Right now.
I believe.
My sins are forgiven.
I'm justified by your blood.
I'm saved.
I'm restored.
I'm born again.
I'm a child of God.
I am free from the power of sin.
I am free
and deception and the power of the devil to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me, for building me, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.